You're eating another cookie?
Needing a cookie. It's the last one that had to be done.
He's eating a cookie and rhyming, folks. I don't know what to tell you.
Oh, I did too.
This is the Citadel Cafe.
This is the Citadel Cafe, episode number 31, recorded live Wednesday, August 22nd, 2012. I am Joel Duggan of StarCrossedOnline.com. Tonight, we are flying without Peyton Francis. But keep your seats and trays in their upright positions. Chad Merlin is here. The only thing that you need to know about Chad, besides where he's sitting on the plane, is you don't need to know anything else about Chad. Chad, what is going on, sir?
No Peyton, no problem.
No Peyton, no cry. No Peyton. That's probably like the one and only time you're going to hear me sing on this podcast. Usually I leave that up to Chad.
Little Bob Marley.
Little Bob. You know, you got to get the Bob in there. You got to get the Bob in there.
If you're going to pick something, I wouldn't have picked you for Bob Marley if you
no.
were going to sing.
No. Crash Test Dummies maybe, but not Bob Marley. So if you happen to be new to the Citadel Cafe, this is where usually we three, but tonight we two, come to hang out and talk about the things that we've been into lately. We gravitate towards geeky sci-fi and fantasy stuff, but we're not myopic. We cover anything from movies and television to books, apps, and websites. And we've technically been on vacation, which is why there wasn't a show last week. But I don't think I have ever been so busy on vacation. Between friends, meaning Chad, and his wife in town, doing little day trips with them, hanging out with you guys, plus my own schedule of stuff that I have to get done. I don't know if I've had a moment that hasn't been scheduled since I was technically on vacation.
Wow.
So it's, and I think you know how that feels.
Yes. Vacation. It's over. Right back to work.
You need a vacation from your vacation?
Oh man, it was so fast. That 1 week and that was it, you know, like, geez, we showed up and I mean, it was the first time we drove down and then stayed the night halfway there kind of thing and then carried on. So we were there in the early afternoon and then, you know, we were relaxed. We had like a barbecue with my family and stuff and just, you know, hung out and it was fun. Like, I'm like, wow. This we got to do this more often coming in this early, you know, because normally we get in at like 8 o'clock at night, driving all day, you're beat, you sit there and you talk and you don't want to do anything. You get up the next morning and then you start slowly moving into the week, you know, or into the vacation. But this one, it was great. It was, you know, we were rested, you know, we had a great meal, hung out with a lot of people right away and then moved on. And oh man, I cannot argue with that at all. But, I mean, then me and you and our women, we went down to the cottage and then, Jesus, it never stopped after that.
Yeah.
Like every time there was, I mean, I'm like, oh, I have 4 hours. And I'm like, I want to watch a movie. I can't because someone shows up or I've got to go somewhere or got to do something or, oh, maybe I should spend more time with this person. And it didn't, I felt like guilty, you know, so.
Yeah, well, it's got to be tough too with only 1 week. I mean, if you, because you guys have come down before and taken 2 weeks.
Yes, most of the time we do take 2 weeks. That's right.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you don't mind me asking, if you even know, are you going to be home for Christmas?
No, probably not.
Yeah,
actually.
I didn't think
not
so.
This year.
No, like, I mean, I figured it would flip flop, you know, summer vacation with you and then winter vacation would be kind of, you know, her family.
Mm-hmm. This year, that's what we were planning on. But and then, you know, we got that little monkey wrench coming in November. So it's hard to say what's going to happen after that. So
the little monkey wrench.
Yeah.
That's going to stick. We're keeping that. We're going to keep that for a while.
The monkey wrench. That's cute. I never thought of that.
Yeah. Well, actually, well, that, and that brings me to a really good point, actually, thinking ahead, is that in and around November, the Citadel Cafe is going to need some guests. Hosts,
yes,
to fill in for Chad while he attends to the monkey wrench and her keeper.
Yeah.
So if you are a podcaster and you'd like to join us for an episode in a few months, then drop us a line. I'm going to start trying to plan ahead rather than scrambling the week before of your show trying to figure out someone to fill some shoes. Brian Provo has already put it in his calendar. He knows that that time is coming up, so he's going to try to free up some time. Nice. So anybody else that's out there for podcasters that want to be on the show, let us know. It's thecitadelcafe@gmail.com, and we will try our best to work out a schedule for that time. I figured, you know, around 6 weeks or more, maybe right through vacation, depending on what you need, Chad, you mm-hmm. can let me know.
Yeah, for sure.
As time goes closer, we can sort all the details out, but I thought I'd put that bug in everybody's ear. Mm-hmm. My vacation is also over. I'm working really hard towards what is now a very large project on top of client work now that is coming in, which is good. I'm not nicking on the client work because I've been without for about 6 weeks, give or take the odd commission. I've been busy with tying loose ends up from before Nerdtacular, got new commissions in, and then everything else kind of just dumped on me, and I've had this really time crunch for everything. So I'm behind on a couple commissions, but now I also have larger client work with the toy design stuff that I normally do coming in this week or next week, depending on when they get back to me. So I've got a lot of work on my plate, which is always a good thing when you're a freelancer. But because I like to be busy, apparently, I'm putting together a book. I announced it on my website Monday. Star-Crossed is going to be put into a collection. Right now, it looks to be about 90 pages. Most of that is going to be comic content. There are, of course, the standard, you know, title pages and dedication pages and stuff like that that do go in there. There's also going to be some sketches and some behind-the-scenes things that have never before been published. Things like the first sketch of Sam ever, from which I believe is as far back as 2004 or 2005.
Wow.
Yeah, I have to look at the date on it. I can't really remember off the top of my head, but it's going to be a decent book, I feel. And I'm putting together the makings of the Kickstarter now. The Kickstarter will be announced in the next couple of weeks. There will be links and plugs and all that kind of stuff all over Twitter, Facebook, this podcast, as well as some of the other podcasts that you might listen to. That's it. That's all I can say right now because I'm still finalizing the deals. There's still some, you know, got to talk to the accountant because in order to take part in a Kickstarter, which is actually a really interesting point of conversation that Jocelyn mentioned before the show, is that Canadians can't take part in Kickstarter. As a matter of fact, non-Americans can't just take part in Kickstarter. You need to have an American partner. Basically, you just need somebody with a U.S. checking account because that's how Amazon and Kickstarter do the transaction fees for processing the Visa transactions and other credit card transactions that pay for Kickstarter projects. So I have a partner at the moment who will remain nameless for now until we sort out the details and how they want credit, etc. I'm looking forward to it. It's nice to have friends south of the border because it allows me to take part in Kickstarter because I've seen lots of books, lots of video game projects, lots of things do very, very well on Kickstarter. I recently just backed a project called The Monster Volume by
Creature Box guys,
yeah. And the shipping was a little bit pricey, and I'm learning that myself, that shipping in general is pricey, because they're doing like a 9x12 hardcover.
Nice.
Like, it's a book. It's a monster volume. It really is a big, big piece of work.
You're planning on doing like a Zitz, Calvin and Hobbes kind of thing?
That's exactly what I'm doing, yeah. It's okay. Not the three comics tall. So the ones that most people see are usually almost square.
Okay.
Mine is going to be 6x9. So it's 6 inches high, 9 inches long.
Yeah, it is.
Nice. Walked into that one. Two podcasters walk into a bar. Bam, so yeah, so it's a horizontal composition with two comics stacked one on top of each other, and probably like 70 pages of comics. I think I've got about 140 currently. And that will, of course, increase as the Kickstarter goes on, because as I keep drawing comics over the next month, I can always include those in the book. As long as they fit. Two at a time, because obviously I don't want to end on half a page. So that's what's happening with that. So it's going to be traditional, you know, just like your traditional, not the big Sunday collections. So there's no color. It's still going to be all black and white on the inside. But that's good, because that's what all my comics are. So it keeps the printing the cheap, relatively speaking, but when you have quite a few people that are interested in the book, Kickstarter is a great way to raise the money to print the book. So all the work is done, which is, I guess, a good thing to point out, is that all the comics are drawn, everything's ready for print. It's just a matter of actually getting the costs to print the book, which is what the Kickstarter does. And in this case, Kickstarter is it's like a fundraiser, but it's more like a pre-order. I was reading an article the other day that was really interesting. I'll have to remember to link it in the show notes, where somebody was outlining how Kickstarters fail. And it's like people that are asking for manufacturing money, but they don't have a prototype.
Yes.
You know, like you have to be either to point A or point B. You either have to have a just a naked idea and illustrate it very well and then ask for money to make that idea come true. Like say for an art installation or a movie or something. But for me, it's the reverse. I've done all the work. I just need basically the physical stuff. I shouldn't say need. I'm looking to raise the money to do as large a print run as possible versus doing a small print run and then running out of books.
Yeah.
Because more people want them than I've printed for. So, it's going to be a fun ride. There's going to be lots of fun rewards, not just books. There's going to be possibly some original art, some original comics, and other swag. And I'll leave it at that. More of that kind of stuff will be coming out over the next few weeks, as I mentioned. So, yeah, I think that's enough of plug for the Kickstarter. Everybody will be hearing quite a bit over the next 6 weeks, so I don't want to get too into
it. Kickstarter's very Dragon's Den-esque.
It is. It does have that kind of feel to it.
Thank God you don't have to make the pitch, though, because it's everybody that buys into it, not just five people.
Yeah.
You know, so that's pretty cool.
Well, I mean, I'm still going to have to do a video. Yeah. But that's cool. I mean, I do podcasts, so I'm comfortable speaking and stuff like that. And what I can do is I can do like I think I'll do a video of myself speaking the whole time, but I can intercut that with like images of the comic, and I've got some video of me drawing, and I've got images of original art and stuff like that I can put on the thing and do it all in iMovie and stuff like that. So yeah, it shouldn't be too bad. I don't know how long it has to be though. Like I feel like it has to be under 4 minutes.
Well, I just went on there the other day and I tried to watch a video because, you know, seeing some of the posts you have on StarCrossed Online is, you know, I said, well, I've never been to Kickstarter. Let's just go take a look. And then I was at work and trying to get anything to play is nearly impossible on our work computers because they're so protected. And then not one computer's got the cable to go and play on the speakers. So I'm like, why do I even bother? Like, really, why do I bother?
Yeah.
I tried anyway, but I could do it from home.
Yeah. Well, check out the Creature Box one. Their video is still up.
Okay.
Their page is still up. And that was a successful run. Well, geez, I can't remember what they asked for, but it was something like they wanted $40,000 or $50,000 to do a large print run of this book because they have a lot of fans.
Sure.
And they quadruple funded or something. Like they did $150,000 or $170,000 or more.
Awesome.
The last night. Yeah. I'm super stoked that I was able to one support them and that they did so well.
Yeah.
They actually ordered a second print run of the book from their printers because people were just clamoring to get it.
Nice.
Yeah. And I ordered let's see if I can remember the supervillain package, which includes a limited edition print, PDFs of all of their old work, the hard copy book with like a leather slip case and stuff. And an original 4.5x5 piece of artwork,
which is
exciting for me because I'm these guys are some of my role models online currently. So to have an original piece of art from them is going to be super cool to add to the studio. So yeah, it's going to be very, very fun. So I guess we can dive into our topics this week. Movies, TV, and video is first up, and without Mr. Francis here, we can actually get into some spoilers.
Spoilers!
The Dark Knight Rises. While you were here on vacation, we all went to go see it, and I think we all enjoyed it. We all had a good time.
I'm Gotham's Reckoning!
Yes, everybody cue the Bane jokes now.
Yeah.
So what did you think? What was your... I mean, because we talked about it very briefly afterwards, but what was your full review? What did you think of the movie?
Well, right away, I'm telling you, it's going to be part of my Blu-ray collection.
Yeah.
No ifs, ands, or buts. It will be held up there, right up there with The Dark Knight and Batman Begins. Although I don't have Batman Begins on Blu-ray, but that's for another time to talk about. I really liked it. I got to say, I was excited every time, like the first time Batman came on and the music starts up. I just got goosebumps right away. I was really, really into it. I was scared, though, going in that, you know, Anne Hathaway was going to be really bad because every time I see her, she's in those rom-coms or, you know, she sort of played the same thing. And I even remember my sister had some movie about her, the Princess Diaries or something like
yes,
that.
Yes, I don't remember what it was called, but I know the movie you're talking about.
So this is what I've been thinking about this girl, right? So, you know, I'm like, okay, so she's definitely moved on from the teenage girl. But I think I was pleasantly surprised that she didn't stink the film up. You know, like she was good. I mean, she wasn't Michelle Pfeiffer, although Michelle Pfeiffer had a different role to play as the Catwoman in the original. So, you know, it was Tim Burton-esque, so cartoony. So this one was a little different, a little more serious. She was, I think, a little too clean. You know, maybe she, you know, like she was, you know, like Selena Kyle's character. She could have been a little like, I don't want to say dirtier because
yeah,
people might go the wrong way with that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
grungy. You wanted her to be more into the guts of Gotham. Not
Yeah.
So that's how they in the video games they keep her as like she's still living in like Slum Alley or whatever that area of Gotham happens to be. She doesn't have a swanky apartment. She's got kind of a dump.
Okay, it's cool. So that's one thing. I thought Tom Hardy did a great job with his nonverbal. Like all his actions and stuff, he was intimidating. Like he was supposed to be. He's a big guy. You know, when he puts the hands up on his vest, you know, he's like, he's relaxed, he's calm, he knows exactly what's going on, and he's a badass. You know, so like you have to be intimidated by this guy just by his looking at him. Not to mention that he's got a fucked up mask on his face. You know? Yes, I did have problems. Like, you know, you'd mentioned after the movie that you didn't like his voice. I thought he played it well, like he used it some of the times, like, no, brother, you must die. One of us must be left behind to die. Like with the way he puts that out, I like that. I thought that was kind of cool. Now, there was other times when he's describing main plot points of the movie and you're like, what did he say? And you said, well, I kind of figured it out because of the last word. But leading up to it, I was a little unsure. So,
yeah, because you can't quite hear everything. But then at the end, he says bomb or something very, very clear. And then you have to go back and parse like, oh, maybe when he said it was actually detonator.
Yeah.
And if I fill in a couple of words in between, like you can kind of fill in the blanks and get the gist, right?
Yeah,
but I mean, it's funny that you mentioned his body language, because one of the things that I've always taken away from animation school is that you should be able to watch an animated show with the volume off and still understand everything that's going on.
Awesome.
The actions, the body language, and the expressions on the characters' faces should explain what's happening. You know, not the nitty-gritty details, and you're not going to get the little sideways jokes, but you're going to get the overall arc of the story. You know, like SpongeBob has lost his butterfly net, and he is helping, or Patrick is helping him find it. Like that, you'll be able to get that from a silent cartoon, right?
Yeah.
And that's, you're right, you do get that intimidation with Tom Hardy's posture. I felt like sometimes he was kind of walking around with a little imitation lat syndrome. I know he's a big guy, but I felt like they dressed him up so bulky that you couldn't see how small his waist was compared to how big his shoulders were. So I didn't feel like he was very built. I just kind of felt like he was in a suit, even though I know because they showed him with his shirt off one time, didn't they?
Yeah.
But he's gotten pretty big, but he wasn't overly cut.
No, he wasn't. He just bulked up. He's massive.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing. So, I mean, I'm kind of bringing a little bit more of the comics into this than maybe I should. But, I mean, Bane in the comics has got this venom stuff that pumps into his veins. And in a lot of cartoon versions, he, like, actually physically puffs up like a Hulk. Like, he actually gets bigger. In other times, he just gets stronger and but he's always a big guy. Mm-hmm. And I didn't really feel like Batman next to Bane really felt like he was outmatched. And they did not do a great job explaining why he has the mask and what advantage it gives him. Now, the best that I could put together was that there was some sort of injury that he sustained from trying to escape from the pit, the prison that he was in.
Well, sort of, yeah.
Where he injured his back or something like that. And in order to fix him, the doctors basically had to sever nerves or there was some sort of damage done where he was in constant pain. The mask that was helping him deal with his own personal pain was also masking any other pain that he was dealing with. So he basically could get shot in the leg, and unless he saw it, he wouldn't feel it, you know? So that's why when Batman was beating the snot out of this guy and landing punches, it wasn't doing anything.
For what I got out of the movie was that he did, well, this is the ultimate spoiler, is because this is how I knew that Bane wasn't the little kid.
Mm-hmm.
because of the body language again, when he was the protector of the little kid. And I saw that right away. I said, that's not Bane. The kid is not Bane.
Yeah.
So, and then what had happened, he got beat up and his injuries sustained saving the kid.
Oh, that's what it was. Okay.
That's how his face got all messed up. Because then when you saw Ra's al Ghul come into the prison, that's when his face was bandaged up and around his mouth was really bloody. And that was the only noticeable injury. And then they quickly explained that the doctor did the best he could to help him. And to make this mask, for whatever it is, it ended up keeping the pain at bay for him, that because it would be utter agony, like Tony Stark with the little pieces of metal in his blood that are constantly trying to get to his heart, right? That kind of thing. So
basically, Bane wasn't super strong.
No, Batman. He's just kind of Batman kick ass,
right?
But I think you know what, Joel? That makes sense. It probably takes away a lot of the other pain he feels too.
Right, exactly. So that's what I was thinking. Because I mean, if they're both kind of League of Shadows. Mm-hmm. Alumni sort of thing, why is Batman with all his gadgets going at him and landing vicious blows, not doing anything?
Yeah, the double punch.
Yeah.
The double sideways to the chest. Boom.
Yeah, exactly. And the other thing too, and with that Batman fight, I know that Batman was technically rusty. Like, he had not been around for a while, but man, it was just like, come on, have you forgotten everything? It was not that exciting. And he lost his cool and he was just yelling at the guy. And one of the things that I did not like about that fight was when Batman basically tackles him.
Yeah.
Like, runs at his midsection with his head down. It's like, that's a good idea.
It's a good way to break your neck. Him to do that.
So stuff like that I wasn't too on board for. I did figure out the whole Talia thing earlier on.
Pissed me off. I didn't get that.
Yeah, yet. But I had the advantage of I just played Gotham or Arkham City for Xbox. And that she's in it and it's a big part, like Ra's al Ghul and Talia are a big part of the plot. So I just had this big refresher about the relationship between Talia and Bruce Wayne and all this kind of stuff. So, I mean, it was kind of fresh on my head, and her accent and the way that she had all this money, I was like, yeah, I kind of think I know either that's who she is or that's who she's supposed to be. Like, this is either Nolan's nod to Talia or that's really who she is, right? So I kind of saw it coming. They did kind of get me at the end, again, with our spoilers. I wasn't sure whether Nolan had killed Batman or not.
Okay.
When they blew up the flying Batmobile, whatever you want to call it, the hovercraft,
the Batwing,
which was pretty cool. I enjoyed it. I really was kind of like, I know from online that Nolan has said that's it, no more Batman for me. I'm done. Mm-hmm. I've done my piece. I've told the story the way that I want to tell it. So I thought, it's possible, because I knew that they was going to pass the torch.
Yeah,
because there was enough people that knew who he was, which I did like. My dad points out whenever he sees a superhero movie or has a modern kind of telling of it. That's why he likes Iron Man, is because Iron Man just doesn't freaking hide who he is. Like, everybody knows, he's just like, he walks around with just a mask over his face. Like, how the hell do people not figure out that it's Batman, that's Bruce Wayne, right?
And like, Commissioner Gordon couldn't figure it out.
Well, I think Commissioner Gordon kind of just wasn't, he was purposely not trying.
Probably.
That was the impression that I got, is that Gordon figured it out in the end when Wayne gave him a hint. Mm-hmm. The same kind of hint he gave Rachel in the very first movie. He just said something that he had done before, or done as Bruce Wayne, and people have to put two and two together. Mm-hmm. But I liked that aspect of it. I liked the Catwoman, the Selina Kyle relationship with Batman, Bruce Wayne. And it was nice that a lot of it was out in the open. Like, there wasn't this stupid cat and mouse game with him hiding his identity. Like, everybody that would know knew right away.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool.
I like that too. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. And I enjoyed, I can't remember his name. He was in the other Nolan movie, Inception.
Yeah, Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Yes, he did really well.
Yeah, he was really good, right?
I really enjoyed him.
Nightwing.
Yeah. Yeah, looks like that. And I like that nod. I think I heard you groan.
Did I? No, when he said Robin.
When he said Robin, and his full name was Robin or something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
But I like that nod where they just leave it off at the very end with him just kind of inheriting the whole Batman, mystique,
yes, you know,
is being passed on. I thought that was kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, that's where would you land in turn of a 5-star rating?
I give it a good solid 4.
Yeah, I'm going to say 4 too.
Solid 4. Yeah. Solid 4 out of 5. You could even put it up to a 4.5, but certain things, why not make it into 2 movies? Fucking Potter did it. Twilight did it, for God's sake.
Yeah.
You know, there was enough. It was that long that you know how much deleted scenes they would have had.
Yeah.
You know, Batman, he was gone. He comes back. He gets sent into the prison. That was 2 hours.
Yeah.
At that point. And holy shit. You know, and then he comes back. That could have been a whole other movie. And like you said, I think, how did he get back on to Gotham?
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah, there's a little,
there you go. You could have been 20 minutes of the new movie getting into Gotham, yeah, you know?
Because, and we mentioned this before the show, that it reminded both of us of Gotham, No Man's Land.
Yes. Oh my God. That's
Batman
all
No Man's
seeing.
Land. Yeah. I mean, obviously I'm sure Nolan, is aware of that work. And a lot of it, and a lot of the cool parts of that are how Batman gets in there and starts kind of doing stuff. And I think there would have been some fun superhero moments where there really weren't a lot of in the movie.
Yeah, no.
Where you could have had some of Bane's henchmen being spoiled and being beaten up by Batman because he's back. Mm-hmm. But he's doing it super ninja style. You know, like, just people are just freaking disappearing. Yeah. You know, like that would have been a really cool way.
Where are you?
Oh yeah, geez. See, I mean, this is the thing. This is where that 1 star falls for me. That 4 to 5, that 1 star that keeps it from a 5 are Bane not being a good enough villain for Batman. The speech problem with Bane in general in terms of moving the plot forward, mm-hmm, and the consistent growling that he does as Batman. It's like, dude. Everybody knows who you are. Like, all the people around you now that you're still growling know who you are. And even, like, when he, Catwoman disappears on him, he turns around and she jumps over the edge of a building and vanishes. And he says, mm-hmm, oh, so that's what that feels like. But he says it in the Batman voice. There's no one around. Like, just, God, that kind of stuff was just like, that's pushing a little bit too far. And they need to cut holes in the nose of the mask so the man can stop breathing through his mouth. Like, there's just little things like that that really keep it from being all that it could be, you know, like, but I'm coming from, like, my perfect world is a Batman animated series. Like, that's where I think, like, it's been done the best,
mm-hmm,
you know? So anyway, that's a long time on Batman. Have you watched anything else?
No, but I just want to say the Hobbit trailer at the beginning.
Oh, right.
In the beginning, that totally made up for the fact that the Twilight trailer started all.
Twilight. What a waste of space.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyways, but the Hobbit trailer looked really good. But 3 movies, it's going to be a little depressing waiting for all 3 to come.
On one hand, I kind of want just like, I would kind of like one really concise movie and then give me the other ones on home movies. Like, I'm kind of tired of sitting through 2.5-3 hour movies in the theater. I don't enjoy it. That's my problem.
I suppose you can't. Yeah.
Well, no, my back does bug me, but it's just, as an adult, like, I can, you know, pick 10 adults and 3 of them are going to have to go to the bathroom at least once during the movie.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's just not a comfortable way to spend, you know, 3 hours in chairs in public. Like, I'd much rather be on the couch at home where I can stop halfway through and have dinner and, you know, pick it up afterwards, that kind of thing. So, anything else on the screen for you this week?
I started watching True Blood season 4, recently. It's not bad. I'm afraid it's going to turn. I only started watching it and they're already like 8 or 9 episodes in, but, it's got that feeling that it's going to turn into Smallville season 7 on me, which is when I stopped watching Smallville because they just lost me, you know, they just lost me and it pissed me off. What else though, too? The drama, fuck off with the drama.
Like, oh, yeah?
So somebody dies. Well, they die. Let's deal with it. But now they're just, people are dropping like flies and like you never see a cop once, you know, and these are like not quite main characters, but like, you know, where did they go? You know, like, come on. Yeah, it's not bad. It's fun to keep going with the series. But yeah,
I think I finished season 3. I certainly got halfway through, but I think I finished season 3. And I've heard that season 4 was weird. Like, it went back to like how season 2 was weird. Mm-hmm. I think it got it's weird again. But Eric is back. Eric has his memory back. So I'd watch it just for Eric.
Yeah, he's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I enjoy him because he's a dick.
Yeah,
if I was a vampire that was a couple hundred years old with that much weight on my shoulders, I'd be kind of a dick too.
Yeah.
Get away with it, right? Well, I actually took in a couple of things. Watched Terminator 2, which, of course, nice. I've seen several times before. have not seen in a while. 1994 or 91? I think it was 91.
Yeah, it was like 91 because I remember I was in line to see Robin Hood, and my dad goes, well, we could see Terminator 2 if you want. And I'm like, oh, Robin Hood or Terminator? And dad goes, well, we're here for Robin Hood. We'll stay for Robin Hood. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Because I hadn't seen the first Terminator by that point.
So yes.
I was only young, right?
We've had this discussion before where I'll mention a movie and Jocelyn will say that she hasn't seen it. And the whole conversation just comes to a grinding halt because everybody looks at Jocelyn like, how have you not seen this movie?
Yeah.
The Terminator franchise is one of those series that she's never seen. And we don't have easy access to Terminator 1. I have it on VHS, but that's not been hooked up for a very long time.
Yeah, the library probably has it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Or Netflix or something.
What? Well, no. They've got Terminator 2, but they don't have Terminator 1. So, anyway. Or Terminator. The Terminator.
Terminator. Yeah.
So, I just basically gave her the rundown. And Terminator 2 came out so far after the first Terminator movie that there was kind of a decent summary at the beginning. I forgot how much monologuing that Linda...
She does.
What's her name? Linda Carter? No.
No.
Linda Hamilton.
Yes.
Yeah, that she does as the female lead in the show, and
Sarah Connor,
and so that kind of brought Jocelyn up to speed. And the movie stood up. Like there was some puppet parts that kind of stood out to me, but I don't think it was that big of a deal. The one-liners were things like, well, Arnold says like "Hasta la vista, baby," and Jocelyn was like, "Ah, now I understand." That whole meme made so much more sense now. Yeah, so it was fun, and I enjoyed it. I forgot how good a movie it was, and one of the things that we commented on was that a lot of it was practical effects, stuff that was flipping over or blowing up, or helicopters crashing or buildings blowing up. They were really doing those things.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, exactly. It wasn't CG. It was just real, pyro stuff happening all the time in that movie. They destroyed half of freaking LA.
Yeah.
It was nuts. And I really enjoyed it. Although I forgot how funny it was. I don't remember it being that funny. I thought it was a much more serious movie, but there's some very odd, quirky moments with Schwarzenegger and the little kid at the moment. It was good. I mean, for Netflix, whatever, like we already pay for Netflix, so it was good. The next movie on the Jocelyn hasn't seen it list is Top Gun.
Oh wow, man. Yeah. That's crazy, cuz that's like your Tony Scott homage now, right?
Yeah,
cuz
exactly.
Gone.
Yeah.
Shit, eh?
Yeah, so I've moved that up on the list. We were going to go through some other sci-fi stuff, but I've moved Top Gun up. For that reason.
And I feel the need.
The need for speed.
Ow!
Yeah. Well, to slow things down, I watched Hell on Wheels.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah. I got two episodes in. I watched the second one with Jocelyn last night. I will certainly continue the series. I'm thinking it's going to get better. It's not bad, but it is somewhere between Justified... and that other HBO show with the Western. What the hell is that called? I'm drawing a blank. Help me out, chat room.
Deadwood?
Deadwood. I think it was Deadwood? Yeah, I think it was Deadwood. I really like Hell on Wheels. The guy that plays one of the main dudes there, he was Miles O'Brien in...
Yeah, Cole Meany.
In Star Trek. He plays a kind of greedy railroad pioneer, and he does a great job. It's all this like soapbox talk, like it's just he's a snake oil salesman sort of thing.
Okay.
Very, very good role for him. Very boisterous and over the top sort of stuff. The main guy, you've seen him in little bits of everything else, and I his name is escaping me, but he's good. But he's got one of those faces where that he's a very handsome actor, but he's got a beard and long hair and they've made him all dirty for the show.
Okay.
But they can't do anything about his white teeth and his gray eyes. Like, he looks like this really attractive grungy cowboy. It's really strange. It's this weird kind of push-pull where he looks all, like, all the other characters that are doing these character bits where they got, like, you know, four teeth and this big old scraggly beard and their eyes are all bloodshot and brown. And I mean, they all look like character actors. They look like they've been out in the West for 20 years, whereas this guy walks in like, wow, what Hollywood train did you get off of? You
know? Yeah, exactly.
It's kind of funny that way.
That's the problem. Well, with the leading characters in Hollywood and stuff, they have to make them, you know, presentable so that you like them.
Yeah.
You know, like that's teeth are huge. Like, I mean, teeth are gross, man. Like, if you don't have nice teeth, they're even look at a person, you know, you're like, oh, wow, your teeth are messed.
Tell me about it. I won't get into too many details, but because the person that I have been dealing with lately, I will call them a client. But not really a client. they have poor hygiene. And it is very difficult to deal with them. And to speak with them, you're kind of thinking like, how do you even have four brain cells to rub together? Like, I mean, can you even remember to brush your teeth before you go to bed? Like, you just, this kind of stuff is just... And you're like, how do you sustain life? How do you keep the roof over your head from falling in? You know, and just running into these people and it just makes me kind of really value my education, my parents' values, my upbringing. Like, it all just kind of puts it in a very straight perspective, you know?
No,
that is not you. Where you are is A-okay, you know? Whatever mountains you're climbing up right now, it's not that guy's mountain, which is a lot bigger than yours. So stuff like that I always find really hard to take. But I know what you mean about the hygiene on the shows. But I would recommend Hell on Wheels. I'll have more to say once I complete the series. It could go to Hell in a Handbasket. But
I do mean to watch it myself.
For now, it's good. Yeah, and it's on Netflix in Canada anyway. So it's easy access.
Really?
Yeah. Well, we can move on to our next segment, which happens to be reading. You are still on your Christopher Moore book.
Sacre bleu, man. Sacre bleu. I'm still doing it. I cannot get through it. It's just because it's there is the only reason why I'm reading it. It's so bad. That's not bad. It's not his worst one, but it's not Christopher Moore. It's not like what drew me into him in the first place, right? So, but I did find out that my favorite author is his next book is due out in October. And it's the Hundred Years' War between France and England.
Okay.
He wrote a story about an archer, Thomas of Hooktown, and it was Hookton. And he went on basically a Grail quest to find the Grail, the Holy Grail back then. And he was like a archer, and you really liked that character because he was pretty rough and tumble. And like one of the things I always remembered about that specific character was, you know, he'd gotten a girl pregnant in his village, and his father was the priest, the town priest.
Mm-hmm.
And he was kind of on the outskirts of town doing something, and he turns his back and he looks, and then these French knights are raiding the English coast, right? And they come and they raid his fishing village that he lived in. So he runs to the hills and grabs his bow because he wasn't allowed to have a bow and all that stuff. And anyways, he uses the bow and he kills a couple of the Frenchmen. And what turns out, you know, they take their spoils, right? Because he can't save them all. So he's just kind of hiding up on this hill, and they leave him alone because, you know, he's killing them. So they go and they pillage the town. And what they ended up doing is taking the girl he got pregnant basically as like a captive, right, to take her back to France. And I never forget the paragraph where he just goes on for a paragraph describing the guy's relief that now he doesn't have to deal with this kid and his dad's going to be okay with this. So this is the kind of main character that he'd set in like the first chapter of this book, right? So he always writes a good scallywag, if you know, that way. But this next book is just kind of a continuation because I haven't really seen this guy or read about this guy in quite a few years now. So it'll be fun to revisit this character.
Do you know what the name of the new book is?
Yeah, it's I want to say it's 1382, but I could be wrong. There was a really big battle fought that year one of the big three. There was like three big battles, like massive battles that occurred, and it was the year of one of them. And there's a whole bunch of other events that happened that year too. It's like the Black Prince, the Prince of Wales. He was named the Black Prince and all that stuff. He's like the leader of the English army and all that stuff. So it's all got to do with that. So nice little history lesson, historic fiction. It'll be fun.
Right on.
Fun to read.
Cool. Yep. Well, I haven't had a whole lot of time for reading because I've been so busy. But while you were here on vacation, you and Julie and myself and Jocelyn all sat down to play Munchkin Booty.
Yes.
Which is a card game for anybody that's not familiar. Tabletop card kind of game. It's like I guess it's like a role-playing game. It's kind of like something that makes fun of role-playing games. And there's like 40 different versions of Munchkin. There's like Munchkin, there's Extra Munchkin, there's Munchkin Munchkin and Space Munchkin. And we played Space Munchkin with some house guests. And as a thank you, they bought us Munchkin Booty because they were out here on the East Coast. And the Munchkin Booty is the pirate Munchkin. And we sat down to play that. And it was... it was super fun. It's just there's a lot of reading, which is why it's in this section, is because even just a simple card, you know, of a bad guy or a monster you have to fight is, you know, you have to read it carefully because there's lots of little things and it's all hard to read because they're all speaking like pirates all the time. Yar be going there and don't be doing this and the scallywag that. And it's just like, all right, how I have to read this like normal so I can understand it and then I can start making fun of it. It's a quite involved game. I'm just sort of getting the hang of it. We played kind of a half practice round with you and Julie because you guys were new. But it can get kind of cutthroat, you know.
Kind of backstabby.
Yeah, pardon the puns. Lots of swords and stuff. I enjoy the humor of the game. And I do have a bit of a more of a personal connection to it because I interviewed John Kovalik, who is the cartoonist that did all the artwork for the cards.
Comics Coast to Coast?
Yeah, he was on Comics Coast to Coast, I want to say 3 weeks ago now. So we had an interview with him. He's drawn over 4,000 cards.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Because if you didn't, I don't know if you noticed, like if you and I both got the, I don't know, plank strategy different cards, they were different cartoons. Like it was the same card, like all the text and the abilities of that card are the same, but the cartoon was different. Now his cartoons are fairly simple, which is the only way you could draw 4,000 of them.
Yeah.
But still like that is just a lot to head count, you know, and keep track of. So I'm really happy to see that, you know, Steve Jackson Games and John Kovalik are doing so well with it because they're a lot of fun. And I have to say that I enjoy the humor of the game. It's a fun game to play with friends, though I guess I do have to, I have to caution people that you're going to have to play with friends of yours that are into tabletop games. I'm going to say twice to three times before everybody is really on board and it can really get have a good round of the game because you're going to spend the first hour teaching people.
Yeah.
You know, I would say, what were your first impressions of
I was overwhelmed by the amount of reading and because there was no real guidelines. It was, you guys were the guidelines. I think the rules were decently laid out. It's just with the pirates that we had to pick through at first.
Yeah.
You know, like how are you doing? And then, you got to really pay attention to the card. I would appreciate a little more color coding on the card just to kind of say like blue means this, this means this match with this, just something a little simple, something simpler to actually link stuff together. And like you said, you can get those boards and stuff where you can track that maybe. And I don't want to get too boardy into it because, you know, the fact that there wasn't a board was cool, but something to track it a little bit better might be easier for me to pick up after that. Then you just toss it aside.
Before we played the first time, we actually watched Tabletop, which is Will Wheaton's, television show, YouTube show that he has on the Geek and Sundry Network. And they played a round of Munchkin with Steve Jackson there in the studio. And it was really cool because they kind of edit down some of the boring rounds and they cut to the more action packed rounds. So, that one worked out really, really well. We had a better idea how to play before we actually sat down.
Okay.
So, I mean, that helped. Mm-hmm. I think the better thing to do would be before you actually play a round with somebody, if you end up buying the game, is to give them the instructions and just say, look, we're going to go get some drinks for everybody. Sit here and read over these.
Just
read them through once so that you then at least have some sort of visual memory of like, oh, I think I saw that in the instructions somewhere. But even in the instructions, they're like, you know, house rules are whatever goes. And he was like, well, that doesn't help at all.
Yeah. You know,
yeah. Like, stuff like that is kind of difficult to deal with. But yeah, I like it. I'm going to keep on playing it. But you know what? It took me a while to catch on to Catan too.
Yeah, I've never played Catan.
Peyton and Lee play Catan. It's like Risk, but faster,
mm-hmm.
like way faster. And if okay. everybody's really into it, you can play a round of Catan in about 60 or 90 minutes.
Wow.
Which is fun. But it took me a while to get used to it. And I could tell the first couple of games I played, Peyton and Lee were kind of like, you know, explaining things to me, waiting for me to do stuff. And you can really start to establish some patterns and get better at that game. So, I mean, it's the same thing with Munchkin Booty, you know, you can, or Munchkin in general. Once you know what certain cards are, when you should discard them right away, when you should keep them, that kind of stuff, I think it makes a big difference. So, right on. I guess we can move on to our email section. This is where we would normally read emails, voicemails, and tweets from our listeners, but we don't have any this week, which is not a surprise considering that we took the week off last week. So if you'd like to write the show, drop us a line at thecitadelcafe@gmail.com. You can also attach a voicemail in MP3 format or hit us on Twitter, thecitadelcafe, if you want to keep those replies on the short side, or send just a link if you have something that you wanted to share with us. We can pick it up all that way. Be sure to use a hashtag if it's something that's trending so we can keep track of that kind of stuff online and maybe even find some more cool stuff for the show. So once again, the email is thecitadelcafe@gmail.com. That brings us square into the Internet Minute, which is the last part of the show. Chad, do you have a pick to share with folks?
I have a pick. Just as a matter of fact, today I was on the App Store just browsing, and I always like to check what free apps are available and stuff and see what I can download for my Mac because I can't play all the kick-ass video games that everybody else does without running, what's it called, Boot Camp or no?
Virtual Media or virtual VMware sort of stuff. You have to do like a virtual Windows machine.
Yeah, like I have to make it think it's Windows, and that's not cool because this is a Mac.
Who wants to do that on a Mac?
Yeah.
Certainly don't.
So, yeah. So, anyways, the top free app at the moment is RC Mini Racers, and it's just a little racing game where you race around in RC cars. It's not bad. The graphics aren't incredible, but hey, it's free. So, it's limited time free, though, so... You know, if you're hopefully listening to this and you're not listening to this in 2 weeks from now, and it's not free anymore. I'm sorry, but it was free when I checked in on it. It's neat. You have actually a decent selection of cars to start off with. If you want to customize your card, you use coins to customize it. Guess what, Joel? It costs $4.99 for like 50 coins.
Oh, geez.
So it's one of those kind of games that there's a term for it, but I didn't do that. But it really reminded me of the old Micro Machines game from Nintendo.
Oh, nice.
Do you remember that game?
I do remember that game.
Yeah, that was a fun game when we were kids and stuff. And it reminded me of it because it's scale. You know, you're driving around on a city street. There's parked cars that you're driving around, but you're going through little time gates, and you get little bonuses of missiles and mines and little turbo boosts and stuff. So it's fun. Yeah, it was a neat little, you know, killed 20 minutes this afternoon and... you know, just with the arrow keys and space bar and a couple other letter keys, and that was it.
Yeah.
And it was fun. It's free. Like the physics were decent. Like you'd do a flip and the car would roll, and sometimes you'd come back facing the right way. Sometimes you'd land upside down and have to reset your car. It was fun. Yeah, it was really good.
Right on. Look, you know what? I have to go right back to the very beginning of the show when you said doing flips and doing rolls. I have to say, the Bat cycle scene.
Yes, when it did Dark the turns. Knight.
Whenever it did the turns and the wheels would roll over,
yeah.
That was flipping awesome.
Awesome.
Pun intended. That was so good.
We got a little tease in the Dark Knight because he did that in the Dark
Knight.
He
did it once. Yeah. Yeah, but they did it like three times in this movie.
Yes.
And, and really most of the time, Catwoman was on it.
Yes. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Really, really cool stuff. Really, really cool stuff. So,
And just to go back to one more other thing. Never mind, I'll use it for another time. Okay.
That's what we call a tease, ladies and gentlemen. Tune in next week when Chad has his other pick right here on the Citadel Cafe. Oh, man. Well, that brings us square to the end. We can wrap up this short version of the show. Without Peyton, things tend to be a little bit more concise because instead of three opinions, we only have two. If you
and we're right.
Yeah, well, there you go. You know, always right. Always be swoosh. What's a hockey commercial or a always frouche? Is it like a, it's like a Ruffles commercial with like Ty Domi or something? I can't remember. It was a long time ago.
I did have a little thing that I'd like to throw out there. Did you know that the word gullible said slowly sounds just like oranges?
What?
Try it.
No.
Why not?
Because I'm being set up.
I so got somebody to fall for that, and it was priceless. Gullible. Yep.
Yeah. In the dictionary, under like redundant, oranges. See redundant.
Doesn't sound like oranges. No, it doesn't.
Nice. Well, if you want to find out all of the cool things we've been mentioning in the show, you can find the show blog at thecitadelcafe.com for our show notes. They are written by the lovely Jocelyn Moffat of the Gamers In podcast, which is going to be coming up this evening in about an hour's time. You can join Jocelyn and her co-host Ryan at gamersinpodcast.com for their live show. You can find The Citadel Cafe on Twitter, Facebook, and Google Plus with just our name, The Citadel Cafe, all lowercase, all one word. And you can email the show at thecitadelcafe@gmail.com. This is where I'm going to do a very intense plug for the iTunes reviews. Rising the charts in iTunes and getting our podcasts into the eye holes and ear holes of new listeners is essential to spreading the podcast around. So if you like the show, just jump on the iTunes, give us a quick 5-star review, leave us a little bit of a little note, what you think of the show, and we'd love to give you a thank you right here. We try to do it every week. I went through a couple of iTunes stores today and wasn't able to find any new reviews, so apologies if I missed one in like Australia or Timbuktu or whatever. If you leave one outside of the UK, US, Canada stores, shoot me a quick email to make sure that I don't miss it, because I don't always check like the Japanese store or the Chinese store or whatever, because
you know,
a lot of times I don't speak the language, so that would be one reason. So yeah, iTunes reviews, very important. Please go out and show your support for the show in that way if you can. I have been Joel Duggan since the day I was born. You can find all that I am up to, including my new book project, at starkcostonline.com. You can also follow me on Twitter and Google Plus with just my name, Joel Duggan. Chad, where can people find you on the internets?
Hey, look for me on Twitter at Chad Merlin.
Ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to The Citadel Cafe, where we are fast, easy, and cheap, but you can only pick two.
Again, no Peyton, no problem. So, I'm eating a cookie.
You're eating another cookie?
I'm eating a cookie. It's the last one that had to be done.
He's eating a cookie and rhyming, folks. I don't know what to tell you.
Oh. I did too.
Now Bobber wants a cookie. You're doing the Lemmel. You're having the Lemmel effect on the chat room.
Yeah.
2 weeks ago, Lemmel writes in about pies, and everybody wants pie. And now you're eating cookies, and everybody wants cookies.
Oh, we should do a what's your favorite cookie question next week.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea. Everybody look at Lemmel until he sends a cookie email into the Citadel Cafe for next week. I'm totally down for food questions, man. You can ask anybody. My life revolves around when I get to eat next. So...